peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. This morning's readings are really a reminder of what really is important in life. It's a reminder to get our values in line with God's values. If you've ever had a death in your family, I'm sure most of you have experienced it, shock, grief, and then, of course, there's the reading of the will in some cases. And in some cases, it's the reading of the will that really divides people. Personally, I've seen it in my own life with my grandmother when she passed away many, many years ago in the 80s, my father when he passed away in 91. People tend to argue about what's left over. You know, the question is, oh, there's a will? You know, am I in it? And so Jesus has this question brought before him, very practical, and he uses it to teach a spiritual lesson. And the spiritual lesson is really simple, and he drives it home with a story. What he's teaching us is that our life does not consist in what we have. I mean, how can it? Think about it. Everything that you have, think about it, your house, your home, your car, everything you're going to leave behind to someone else. So it would be foolish to spend your whole life, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, only focusing on money and possessions and what you can gather. It would be simply foolish, especially if you're rich in earthly things and not rich towards God. So get the point across. Jesus tells a story about a man who has a lot of wealth, has a great farm, and he's thinking to himself, I don't know what to do with all of this. I don't have barns big enough. Oh, I know. I'll knock it all down, I'll build bigger ones, and I'll store everything up, and I'll say to myself, relax, take life easy. And then God says to him, you fool, because this very night I'm going to call your soul. The story is really simple. What do we value? Do we value the things of this world, or do we value things which are above? Now, there's nothing wrong with blessings. God gives us great things. We confess that in the catechism, under the Lord's Prayer. God gives us many, many things. The problem is when we begin to worship those things, when we forget about the Creator and we focus on the things that are created. And it's easy to do, isn't it? I know I have done it in my life. Most people who are not Christians, or they don't have faith in God, they believe that life is just about here. They do it by default. I mean, what else do they have? And so there are three things that we learn about this man, being a fool that he is. Number one, he focuses only on this life. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 100 years. He's only focused on what he has in this life. He's not thinking of the big picture. Number two, he's not thinking about anybody else but himself. You know, his worship is towards his navel. He's focusing only on his needs. Not thinking about his family, not thinking about friends, not thinking about charity, not thinking about anyone else but himself. And then lastly, he's only focused on things he can get in this life. All of the things that he can create with the hand of God. So he's a fool. Number one, he's only focused on this life. And he's only focused on what he can gather and what he can collect. In the Old Testament lesson, we hear that it's the sinner that gathers and collects, only to leave it to one who pleases God. This person is only focused on gathering and collecting and getting more and more stuff. Now, I've been in people's homes years ago where they have hoarded things, where you walk through their house and you can hardly get through it. I hoard books. People hoard different things. We're all guilty of it. This man focused totally on the things of this life, and he was not even thinking of the life after it. So he was focusing on only this life. And so his toil and probably his anxiety was an indication that he really didn't trust in anything supernatural. His anxiety and his toiling away to collect things, maybe if we were to make it relevant today, we would be talking about building up our 401k or paying off our houses. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't become idolatry. And so by doing all of these things, it was probably an indication that he had no faith, that he didn't believe. He was only focused on this life, wasn't even thinking about the life after. Number two, he was only focusing on himself. Do you know people like that? A little song that goes along with that. You probably know it. Me, 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 me. You know, you're just focusing on yourself. And it's okay when you're a little kid. It's okay when you're 4 years old or 8 years old. But there are some people that never grow out of that. You know, they think that the world revolves around them. I mean, we all struggle with this from time to time. But every single one of us, we are all replaceable. I mean, think about it. In 100 years, most of us won't even be here. This man was focused not only on this life only, he was only focused on me, 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 me. Only on himself. And there are many people in our culture, that's all they care about. Collecting wealth, focusing on themselves, and this is the reason why he was foolish. He wasn't focused on other people at all. All he was concerned about was relaxing. You know, if I can build up that 401k, if I can get enough vacation time, I can do whatever, I can sit back and I can relax and I can live a really great lifestyle. And the last mistake he made is that he really thought that his security came from what he collected. Paul tells us in the epistle this morning that that is idolatry. That's hard. Jesus says in the gospel, you can't serve two masters. It's impossible. You can't do it. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve money. You're either going to chase after the things of this world or you're going to chase after the things of the world that is to come. You can't be dedicated to both things. In other words, you cannot serve both God and money. Why is this man a fool? Well, it's really simple. And we've been foolish. I don't know about you. I've done this. Maybe you have done this too, that you're only thinking myopic. You're only thinking about yourself. You're only thinking about this world, maybe this week, this month, how you're going to pay the bills. And you're focusing, you know, if I get that new car, I really will feel happy. We all know that's not true. Think about all the things that you have. I guarantee you not one of those things will bring you happiness forever. None of them. I mean, I know I love to go buy a book. I'll buy a book. Sometimes I don't even read it. Sometimes I do. But the happiness doesn't last past buying it. Whatever it is for you, whatever your addiction can be, whatever your thing could be for you, could be buying a dress or new shoes or going somewhere. Whatever that thing is, it's only an image of true happiness, which is only found in those things. They don't bring everlasting happiness. You know it to be true. I know it to be true. So what's the answer? The answer is to step back, to confess our sins, because I think we need to in this area, and to realize that life is more than 100 years. Life is more than 50 years, more than 60 years. Life is more than what is going on in this lifespan. For us who have been baptized into Christ, who believe, life is eternal. And so, would it be okay to take in the bigger picture and to recognize that we're not going to be here forever? So we may want to gather things up so that we can give them away. Number one, we see the bigger picture. St. Paul in the epistle this morning says, set your hearts on things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I love it in the liturgy just before communion. We lift up our hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in the political arena, whatever is happening economically in your lifestyle, whatever happening here on earth, we have a moment to say, okay, that's important, but this is more important. With angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, with my mother who passed away 35 years ago, with my father who passed away many years ago, with your loved ones who in Christ have passed away many years ago, gather around this throne when we commune. And so, we see the bigger picture. We recognize that life is very short, isn't it? I mean, really, it's very short. And what really is important is eternal life. In the gospel, Jesus says to the man, you're a fool. Don't you recognize that this very night I will call your soul? And everything that you've gathered up, all of the things that you have, they're going to be given to someone else. Having known this knowledge, why don't we gather and collect in light of eternity? Recognizing that life is not just about ourselves, it's also about leaving a legacy for other people. Maybe putting the church in your will, or putting some charity in your will, or thinking about other people other than just self. God calls us to do this. Now, I think the Catholics are better at this than the Protestants. In Scripture, it's very clear. Jesus says, if you want to store up riches in heaven, how do you do it? It's simple. You give money away. You give things away. You give to the poor. Jesus says it very clear, though we run over it because we don't want to think that we can earn our salvation, and we know that we can't, but Jesus is very clear. He says, if you want to store up riches in heaven, give things away. Make friends with worldly wealth. Help other people. Give to charity. Give to missionaries. Give to the poor. Be unattached to the things of this world. And in doing so, and test this out, he says it, you will be storing up riches in heaven. Now, I don't know how that works, but he says it. And so the more we are unattached to the things of this world, the more we can use these things to help other people, we will be doing good. Not to gain our salvation, but to literally living out the life of Christ, who was rich but became poor for us, who gave himself away, his very life, so that we might have life. And lastly, we're called to trust in him alone. I know it's so easy to think if we get this new thing, this shiny penny or whatever it is, we're going to feel secure. But the truth is, the whole economic system could collapse, couldn't it? Some of you know it could, and it could. So our faith is not in the things that we can see. Our faith is in something that we cannot see, which is invisible, which is God. And so we look to heaven. We look to Christ, recognizing that everything that he has given us is a gift, but not making the mistake of worshiping the creation rather than worshiping the Creator, who gives us all good things. I want to end with a story. It's a true story. It's not something I read, not something I made up. It's not even a lie. It's actually true. I heard a story about a man, and he went to the doctor for his annual checkup. And he went into the doctor, and he sat down, went through the tests. He got a phone call about a week later, and the doctor says, I want you to come in. I want to talk to you. So he went in, and he talked to the doctor, and the doctor said to him, put your house in order. He says, you probably got anywhere from 6 to 9 months to live. That's it. True story. Do you know that man went away happy? He went away happy because for the first time in his whole life, he knew that his riches would outlive him. See, his whole life he worried about collecting things and consuming things, and he always worried that he didn't have enough. But when the doctor told him he only had 6 to 9 months to live, he knew he had enough money in the bank and that he could finally live a life. That's foolish, isn't it? I mean, really, what if we just simply live a good life? Recognizing that everything that God has given us comes from above, that we never own it, that we simply are a vehicle to give it all away, trusting in God. 2,000 years ago, there was a man who died, and he left a will, and he left the testament. It's called the New Covenant. And I do tell you, it is the greatest treasure. And often we simply need to be reminded of that treasure. The treasure that we celebrate this morning in the Eucharist.